Hello and welcome to the Catholic News Update for Thursday, the 10th of November. Pope Benedict XVI spoke about Psalm 119 last night in his Wednesday General Audience, reflecting on the breadth and depth of man's relationship with God. The Pope said the psalmist's song voices the range of sentiments which fill the hearts of those who pray: praise, thanksgiving, trust, supplication and lament, all within the context of a heartfelt openness to the Lord's word. He explained to the pilgrims gathered in St. Peter's Square that the psalm is an acrostic, an ancient poetic structure in which each stanza contains 8 verses and begins with a different letter from the 22-word Hebrew alphabet. These 22 stanzas also make the psalm the longest in the Bible. This is a very challenging and original literary construction in which the author of the psalm had to deploy all his skills, said the Pope, but what is more important for us is the central theme of this psalm. This theme was the psalmist's proclamation of his love for God's law, which brings light, life, and salvation. It is a psalm pervaded by the certainty of divine grace and the power of the Word of God, such that even the verses most marked by suffering and darkness remain open to hope and are permeated with faith. The psalmist's faithfulness arises from listening to the word, from keeping it in his heart, meditating upon it, the Pope taught, drawing a parallel with the Virgin Mary, who treasured in her heart the words addressed to her, the marvellous events in which God revealed himself and asked for her response of faith. When Christians pray this psalm, they see Mary as the model of the same loving docility to God's will and in Jesus the fulfilment of the law, said the Pope. These verses, said the Pope, have particular resonance today for Catholic priests, who are called to live from the Lord and from his word alone, with no other guarantees, no other wealth, and having him as their one source of true life. It is in this light, he said, that we can understand the free choice of celibacy for the kingdom of heaven, which must be rediscovered in all its beauty and power. At the same time, the psalm speaks to all the Christian faithful who are called to experience the radical nature of the gospel, to be witnesses of the life brought by Christ, the new and definitive high priest, the Pope concluded. Catholic Care Social Services, Diocese of Parramatta and Churches Housing Inc. co-hosted a successful community forum on homelessness in Parramatta on Tuesday. With the soaring cost of living in Western Sydney, high rents and the urgent need for investment in public and supported housing, the forum promoted discussions on homelessness and examined potential solutions. The Bishop of Parramatta, the Most Reverend Anthony Fisher OP, hosted the forum lunch. In his address to the forum, Bishop Anthony said the church is at the coalface, assisting people in dealing with the effects of homelessness through the work of its parishes, diocesan agencies, lay associations and religious congregations. He said, "I am heartened that Catholic Care Parramatta has partnered with Churches Housing to put on today's forum and that people from a variety of backgrounds have taken part. Few people realise just how much unmet need there is in Western Sydney for emergency accommodation and longer-term affordable housing. The church must walk her talk and lead by example. I've asked the diocesan business manager and the executive director of Catholic Care to explore how the Diocese of Parramatta can better contribute to reducing homelessness." Bishop Barthelemy Adekonu is the Secretary of the Pontifical Council for Culture and a native of Benin. He explained the importance of the Pope's upcoming trip there to Rome, reports.
The Pope is planning on visiting Africa in late November. For a total of 3 days, he'll visit the country of Benin. Even though it's a short trip, it will be key, especially since the Pope will meet with bishops of the entire continent. Bishop Barthelemy Adekonu is the Secretary of the Pontifical Council for Culture. He's also a native of Benin. Since the start, he's been following all preparations very closely.
Benin prepared the Pope's visit with excitement. The local church has worked hard for almost a year since the announcement was made. The government has worked hard as well, making sure the Holy Father's visit goes smoothly.
The Pope will arrive on Friday, November the 18th. Once there, he'll present a document that includes an analysis on the Bishop's Synod, which took place back on October 2009 at the Vatican. The guide will be used by African bishops for years to come.
During the Mass in Cotonou, the Pope will give this document to the Church in Africa. When he gives us the apostolic exhortation on the Synod, it will be a very important moment. The first Synod defined the Church in Africa as part of God's family. This second one will push us to transform society.
During his trip, the Pope will also celebrate the 150th anniversary of the country's evangelization. He's planning on visiting the cities of Cotonou and Ouidah. His schedule also includes a visit to the oldest seminary of the West African coast. Benedict XVI will also pray at the tomb of Cardinal Bernard Ganton, who died 3 years ago. He was Cardinal Ratzinger's predecessor as Dean of the College of Cardinals. This will be the Pope's second trip to Africa and the third time a Pope visits Benin. John Paul II visited the country twice during his pontificate.
I was there during John Paul II's two visits. What struck me most was his love for Africa. Cardinal Ganton, who was a key figure of Benin at the Vatican, was also there. The arrival of John Paul II was like a party, a great joy for everyone.
Benin has a population of about 9 million people. About 44% of them are Christians, 30% practice voodoo, roughly 25% are Muslims, and as far as Catholics, there are about 2 million in the country.
And what do you think about this one? A Canadian priest who is explaining dogmatic theology using an actual dog. Again, this report comes from Rome Reports.
I hope to share with you how my experience of my dog has enriched my experience with my God.
Dogmatic theology helps to explain some of the harder to answer questions in faith, such as mortality, grief, and eternal life. Father James Mallon of Canada is tackling this problem of dogmatic teaching through his actual dog, Monzi.
It's using stories of my dog to speak about things like God's unconditional love, sin, guilt, and forgiveness. That week's called the Seven Dogly Sins.
His lessons are broken up into a series of talks on 8 DVDs. Parts of them can also be seen online at the website dogmatictheology.com. They explain questions on life and death as taught by Catholicism, as well as other themes like sin, guilt, and forgiveness.
It talks about the Lordship of Christ, Scripture, suffering and death. So it gets pretty heavy, and it has talks before a live audience. It has pieces with my dog. There's a dogmatic theologian who's got his piece, and each week finishes with a documentary testimony of a real life experience.
Since the release of Dogmatic Theology in August of 2011, it now has a following from North America and Europe to Singapore and New Zealand. The series of talks was created for everyone with theological questions, for dog owners and non-dog owners alike.
That's it for today's Catholic News Update. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll speak to you again tomorrow. Have a great day. God bless.